going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the MLB edition, the MLB Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come in Major League Baseball here on FanDuel. We are breaking down slates, building up lineups. Good night last night, fun night in MLB. But gosh, those Baltimore bats. Oh, the Baltimore Orioles burning it down for everyone. I am Sean Cain. I am your host. And I am going to bring you in the next hour some matchups, the spreads, the weather, the pitching duels that we have here in Major League Baseball on the main slate tonight on FanDuel. 11-game slate, another big one. Really, really nice. Then we will break down players that we want to target on the slate upcoming this evening. Before we do that, a few high-quality shout-outs. First, want to shout out some new patrons. We've added some new patrons here during the baseball season. So, really, really excited. Didn't get to, shout all these people out last week or at the beginning of the week when we started. But really, really, really happy to have, Adam on board, Joe on board, Denise on board, Sean Henderson, Jacob on board, Oaks, Matt, and Nick Sherman, a bunch of people jumping on board to the cheat sheet. Absolutely thrilled to have you guys. Welcome to the Lineup Logic family. And thank you for $10 a month. These guys are jumping into the, into the cheat sheet here, jumping into the Lineup Logic crew, getting into the Slack channel. I make sure I get everybody in the Slack channel. I forgot to send out invites last week on the Slack channel. I'm going to get everybody in there, I promise. And hey, big shout out to JJF. Oh, so close to the takedown. He just tweeted at me 211.5 in the sack fly. Whew, seventh place, baby. Heavy on those Indians who, man, they really started cooking. Those Indians did. That was a nice little Indian stack for sure. Really, really nice work there, dude. And hey, Big Sean, Big Sean, another good night for kind of Big Sean out there. Another nice night for KL Dog Kenny. Hey, second place. This is two nights in a row. KL has had a near takedown here. Huge number, 180 cheat sheet subscriber from the beginning. Love, appreciate the loyalty, Kenny. And Anthony Terracino, also cheat sheet subscriber. Four different lineups, and I'm looking at him here. The lowest number that he put up was 114, all the way up 114, 133, 149, and 158. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Absolutely thrilled to see subscribers and listeners to the pod getting out here and tweeting at me their results. Guys, anything big or small, I want to hear about it because, I'm doing this by myself. I love to see the results, And for me, last night, I'm not kidding when I say I am knocking on the door in everything. Knocking on the door. And God, it's just been so close to blowing up in so many different nights. And that's maybe baseball. It's high variance. It's high risk, high reward. It's super fun in this way. We're going to keep throwing out these GPP lineups, mixing and matching our stacks and our pitchers. So let's real quick go ahead specifically and recap yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. So, yesterday we talked up the Cleveland bats in that situation. They did great work. We talked up the Baltimore bats. They didn't do such great work, and we talked up Luis Severino. He rolled, absolutely an excellent performance from the young fella. Kid pitched eight innings, had 10 strikeouts, And, you know, he gave up three earned runs, but he did get the quality start. It would have been really nice if the freaking Yankees could come through and get him some run support. Good gracious. But nothing there. You know, I think the most disappointing piece was the goddamn Mariners. The Mariners, anything from the Mariners and the Orioles, and we're sitting pretty. You know, the Diamondbacks had a real nice game. The Indians had a really nice game. Not a lot of dingers from those guys. If you wanted the dingers, you had to be on Cincinnati. You know, and we said Cincinnati. I put it on the cheat sheet. I said stack Cincinnati 1-4. And that was who went off, man. Cincinnati 1-4 had a real, real nice night. You know, disappointed for sure, specifically, and I was way overweight on Nelson Cruz and just nothing, but loving what, you know, Lamb, Peralta, and Pollock did, all scoring about 12 fantasy points there. You know, a good night, could have been a lot better. Michael Fulmer, I had a couple Michael Fulmer lines. Fulmer did fine. I mean, he just, you know, six innings, five Ks, three runs, quality start. It's just that's not, there's nothing special about that, you know, kind of a bummer. There's nothing special about that. So, but absolutely thrilled to see some of the numbers putting up by listeners. And of course, if you are listening to the show or you're, you know, subscribed to the cheat sheet, you know, tweet it out, guys. I love to see those results. It always makes me happy to see how people did. We've got another nice slate though tonight, so let's not waste too much time. Let's jump into the game breakdown. Okay, so like I said, 11 games on the slate. All day slate has three games on it, but I'm not really worried about that. I'm going to be playing the main slate tonight at 7 o'clock. First game of the night, White Sox and Yankees continue their series. Weather in this one, definitely some weather to be concerned about. Wind blowing into Yankee Stadium at 11 miles per hour from right field. We've got 8 runs projected here. Dylan Covey on the mound, the righty for the White Sox versus Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees. Not my favorite game from a fantasy perspective. I just don't know what you can trust in the White Sox lineup right now. And, you know, we saw the Yankees cool off a little bit last night. You add the bad weather in this situation, kind of mixed emotions about this game. So it's not a complete stay away, but it's not my favorite game of the night. Boston at Toronto, 8.5 runs projected here. Poor Toronto. They just can't. They came out, they scored a couple runs early, and then they got lit up late in that game. And the Boston offense started really cooking. I think we could probably see them start to cook again tonight. 8.5 runs projected at the Rogers Center. Porcello on the hill, who Porcello got lit up in his last start. Had a nice outing the first one, got lit up in his last start, and currently has a hard contact rate above 40%. So, I don't know. I mean, not a lot of good lefty bats to attack Porcello with, but I mean, there's going to be a game where Toronto breaks out, right? Right? I don't know. But I do like the Boston bats in this one going up against Francisco Liriano, the lefty. You know, Liriano has kind of, we'll talk about him on the in the player breakdown, but there's too many right-handed bats to attack Liriano with in this Boston lineup. So I don't mind the Red Sox at all. Detroit at Tampa Bay, that series continues in ultimately terrible and boring fashion. Not an exciting game last night. 7.5 runs here. Neither offense really very exciting. The Rays have Chris Archer going, who has been great for them this year. You know, he is their ace, and he's a damn good pitcher. And Jordan Zimmermann on the hill for Detroit, who is not pitching well this year, giving up a lot of contact here and a lot of lefties to attack. I don't mind the Rays at all in this situation to attack Zimmermann with, but only 7.5 runs projected in the trop. So, you know, I don't think we can expect the world. Neither of these teams are hitting for power, but we can't expect maybe some runs here in this one. Baltimore at Cincinnati rematch here. Real nice ballpark situation, obviously. Great American Ballpark. We've got 77 degrees, a little bit of wind out to left, just a touch of 8 miles per hour. Nothing serious, but, you know, it's better than nothing. Ubaldo Jimenez, he was supposed to start last night. They started Gausman. Okay, fine. And the Cincinnati bats just destroyed Gausman, and Jimenez now on the mound opposite the Reds. 9 runs projected here. Amir Garrett, young gun for Cincinnati, throwing the ball hard and playing really pretty well. Both starts he has had almost 40 fantasy points. I just don't know how much I love a young, hard-throwing lefty against the righties in Baltimore. I mean, you want to tell me that Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Mark Trumbo aren't going to give this kid a little bit of trouble? I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty tough order to deal with. That's a power lineup in a small park, so I think you could go back to this game for sure. Vegas seems to like it with those 9 runs there. Philadelphia at the Mets, 7.5 runs projected here. Some rain possible in the forecast. Very similar situation to the Yankees game. You know, similar weather in the region. So keep your eye on the weather there. Not a nice, you know, wind blowing in from right. 51 degrees. Good. Maybe attack the pitchers here because you got 7.5 runs projected in Vinny Velasquez versus Robert Zelman. Velasquez obviously has massive K upside. It's just, do you really want to pitch against the Mets lineup that at any given moment can pop, especially with the way they have tons of switch hitters. They have some power lefties in Jay Bruce and Lucas Duda, you know, do you start against Yo? I mean, Cespedes, it always makes me nervous pitching against Cespedes. So, the Mets didn't do much last night, but you never put it past them, man. Those bats can come alive. Washington, Atlanta, they're continuing their series. Washington, what a letdown, man. They were such a nice leverage spot, those lefties were, and they just couldn't get it done last night. But we've got 8 runs projected in this one. Joseph Ross for the Nats and Julio Teheran. Definitely still interested in these Washington lefties. I kind of want to go back to them. You know, there's so much power in that Harper Murphy combination, and you got to think at some point they're going to break through here. So definitely interested in this game. Nice weather situation. No serious rain concerns like last night. LA at Houston, 8.5 runs projected here. JC Ramirez going up against Dallas Keuchel. You know, this is an interesting spot. I never get Houston right, and they didn't really do much work last night. But, you know, Mike Trout seems to be in a pretty good position against Dallas Keuchel. Excuse me. I don't know. Keuchel or Kush? I think it's Keuchel, right? Yeah. It's so hard to look at it and read it and say it right. That's a lot, you know. Sorry, guys. It's too much work. Kidding. 8.5 runs projected here in Minute Maid. You could definitely get a little bit of exposure to this game. You know, JC Ramirez certainly doesn't necessarily scare me against the lefties of the Astros. So, you know, Josh Reddick is cheap. Josh Reddick is cheap. Cleveland at Minnesota, yuck. The weather here is pretty brutal. Almost a 100% chance of rain in this one. So good chance that you see this game postponed. Keep an eye on it. You know, not anything, you know, definitely some bats that you would want to attack in this situation. But with the weather, I just don't think that we can necessarily look too hard at this game. It's got, like I said, 100% chance of rain right at first pitch, wind blowing in at 14 miles per hour, only 48 degrees, a nasty night up there in Minneapolis. So, you know, Trevor Bauer versus Adalberto Mejia, you know, would want to hit this lineup for sure. You know, I'd want to be able to stack this game up, but I just don't think we can with the weather. The Giants at the Royals here, definitely a little bit of interest in this game because we have a massive wind going out to left field in this one. And Bumgarner on the hill, obviously not, you know, you're not thrilled about the weather that he has to deal with, but Bumgarner is just electric right now. So you've got Bumgarner against Vargas and 8 runs projected here, 79 degrees, nice warm night, nice wind blowing out to left field. So give me some of these righty bats, baby. Give me some of these righties out in San Francisco. Hunter Pence and Buster Posey looking very interesting to me. Don't sleep on Nick Hundley. If he's DHing, that's an interesting spot for him also. Arizona at San Diego. I like this game a lot. We've got Zach Greinke going up against Julio Chacin. That's another one that's hard to say. 7.5 runs here projected. Petco Park, not a great place to play, but Arizona is just lighting it up right now, and Chacin is not a good pitcher, so very interested in going back to the well with the Diamondbacks, who are always under-owned in this situation. Colorado at the Dodgers, last game of the night, only 6.5 runs projected, and Vegas says the Dodgers are going to double up the Rockies because, of course, Clayton Kershaw, the GOAT, pitching against this Rockies lineup. He is 12-9 tonight, my friends, but at home, gotta like it. Gotta like it. You know, can you figure out how to fit him in your lineup? That's the question that everyone will ask themselves. It feels like a 50 burger for sure against this Rockies lineup. Okay, Arenado, but Arenado really doesn't have BVP against Kershaw. So, you know, he's pretty much it. He can, if he connects, he'll hit. But you got to connect first. That's the trick with Kershaw. So that is a nice way to end the night there with that Colorado and Dodgers game. Really nice GPP lineups out there tonight, guys. Lots of different interesting combinations of bats. You know, if you can find a way to get some of these cheap bats with one of these studs, either Mad Bum or Kershaw, then I think you're in a good spot. Now, for the player breakdown, I have my man Joe Metz on the show tonight. Joe came on tonight. Today, Joey came on the show to break down the slate with me. Of course, Joe Metz, JMetz34 on Twitter, one of the founders over there at Fan Forecast, my friends of the show, Fan Forecast crew. And by the way, speaking of Fan Forecast, shout out to DFS Melvin Santiago, man made a couple thousand dollars, not a couple hundred dollars, a couple thousand dollars in the last week in NBA playoff DFS. Kid is on fire. Deserves some respect. Respect, Melvin. Congratulations, brother. Well deserved. Well deserved. Good stuff. Those were great lineups. And just he's hammering those NBA DFS GPPs and really, really playing well. So well done, sir. Well done. I'm very, very happy to see that result for you. Fan Forecast family out there. Representing well. So Joey is on the show with me today. We are going to break down this slate. We'll talk pitchers, we'll talk bats, and we'll figure out who we love tonight in MLB DFS. Who do you love? All right, let's jump into the player breakdown here. I am excited to say that Wednesday's show is going to feature the creator of Fan Forecast, my friend, Joey Bats. Joe, you mind if I call you that?
Yeah, hey, Jose Bautista, I woke up one morning freshman year and saw you actually follow me on Twitter, so I'm all about that.
Wait, you refer to Joey Bats as Bautista? What about Votto?
I refer to Joey Bats, or Jose Bautista as Joey Bats. That's his Twitter handle. It's like Joey Bats 19.
Is it really? Okay, so I always... I always like to call Votto Joey Bats as well. So maybe, I don't know.
Joseph Bats, I don't know. We got it all.
Yeah, I know. Well, you can have Joey Bats also. So Joe Metz here from Fan Forecast, of course. He's going to rock the Wednesday show with me this summer. It's going to be awesome. Joe, I'm thrilled to have you on, man. It's always good to have guests, other opinions, other voices on the show. And you guys are doing some providing over there at Fan Forecast, right?
Yeah, we are. There's a good chance we're not going to be able to continue after April just because of the full-time job setting in after graduation and stuff. So we're going to do what we can to work around our schedules. But even if we don't provide, I mean, we'll still be cranking everything on the website side of things. So we'll still be here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Things change and, you know, eventually people can, we always say if you're listening to the show or you're reading the articles and stuff like that over at Fan Forecast, you'd be able to build your own lines for the most part, you know?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. All right. So Joe, you know how the show works more or less. We're going to go through the pitching on the top of the slate here. We're going to look at some studs. We're going to look at some pivot options. There's some really nice pitchers on this slate. And then we're going to talk bats. We'll talk about a couple offenses that we want to target tonight. This is a pretty nice little 11 game slate. There's a couple games on the all day slate, but the main slate is just as good. So, let's jump. We're only going to be talking about the main slate. So let's go ahead and jump into the pitcher breakdown. I'm going to start my lock stock chalk, pitcher here tonight, that high price stud. It's Madison Bumgarner. Now you have Kershaw on the slate and I know Joe, you're going to talk Kershaw, but yep. I love Mad Bum, 11K at Kansas City. A couple things going for him. You know, Kansas City, obviously a pitcher's park. The weather is not great there. The wind is blowing out. But, Madison Bumgarner is elite. 10.5 K9 rate this season. 5.5 to 1 K to walk ratio with a 31% overall K rate. And a whip below one. I mean, he's got his stuff. There's no question. He's absolutely cooking right now. Last year, Kansas City Royals were pretty average against left-handed pitching, but this year they're dead last in the league. The currently lowest WRC plus against lefties in MLB, a 26% K rate. You know, it makes sense because they actually have a lot of solid lefty bats in the lineup with Moustakas and Moss and all those guys and Hosmer. You know, that's the core of their order, which is built, I think, to hit right-handers. And they've been hitting righties pretty well this year. But I think a lefty like Mad Bum has a real nice advantage in this situation. He owns lefties this year. His K rate against lefties alone is 38%. And listen to this, Joe. This season, he hasn't given up one walk to a lefty. Not one.
Jeez.
Isn't that insane?
Wow.
Yeah. What is he at, three starts or just two?
Yeah, no, I think he's had three, I think. Actually,
he pitched.
Yeah, he's had three.
Yeah, he pitched opening day. He's the top of their rotation. So, not one walk to a lefty.
That's 21 innings. 21 innings and not a walk versus a lefty.
That's insane, isn't it?
Impressive.
All right, you got the other stud up there. So why don't you tell us a little about Mr. Kershaw this evening?
I mean, everyone knows that when Kershaw's on a slate, he's going to garner, I'd say, at least 40% ownership. I mean, he was at Coors and he was still over 40%. So that kind of tells you the kind of player he is off the bat. You really can't go wrong here, especially considering the Rockies, two premier hitters who have, in my opinion, been pretty disappointing this season, are both lefties in Cargo and Charlie Blackman. He got, I'm not going to say lit up, because by any other pitcher's standards, this would not be getting lit up. But for Clayton Kershaw standards, he went six innings last game in Coors, still struck out six, gave up 8 hits, 4 earned runs. Very unusual outing for Clayton Kershaw. But, I mean, this season, he's still a strikeout machine. He's racked up 22 strikeouts in 22 and two-thirds innings. And over the last 3 years against these Rockies, he's gone 8-0 in 9 starts, 1.91 ERA, held them to a 1.53 batting average. And if you think 22 strikeouts in 21 innings is impressive, I mean, he's racked up 77 strikeouts in 61 innings against these Rockies. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I was reading that stat and just laughing to myself because, like, that would be a – like, that ratio would be, like, a pretty, you know – like, that would be – I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's almost, like, 1.5 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it's that – if you've seen him play, his 12-6 curveball is just – it drops from the top of your TV screen to the bottom, and no one can hit it. I mean, it's unbelievable. These Rockies also have the 6th highest K rate in the league right now, so obviously that's not working in their favor against a pitcher like Clayton Kershaw. He also gets the park upgrade of playing home. He's been a dominant home pitcher throughout his career. A 1.97 home ERA compared to 2.82 on the road, and a 1.93 opponent batting average at home. So he's got the park factor as well. It is a notoriously pitcher-friendly ballpark. So, I mean, like I said, it's a Kershaw slate.
Yeah.
The difference with this slate, though, is like you said, I mean, Bumgarner's a great option. There's a ton of other great options, which typically isn't the case on a Kershaw slate. So I can see pivoting away, but I still view him as the premier option tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I see these Rockies bats biting hard tonight in Dodger Stadium. It feels right. Like, it feels like a 50-burger easy. All right. Well, I mean, with those two options, it's hard to think that we really want to do anything else, you know, just such good standouts. But I think we can look at, you know, we're flirting with these guys in the eights and the nines, Joe. And I'm looking at two guys. You know, I initially wanted to look at Julio Teheran just because he really hasn't had a bad start this year. I mean, he's had 3 outings. He's pitched 6 innings in each. I believe he's gotten 2 quality starts in those. You know, he's got a nice even K rate to both righties and lefties, right at 20% more or less. You know, and his K to batted ball ratio against righties even is 7 to 1. You know, and his whip is super low. I would really be interested in the numbers against Teheran. The problem is we know Washington has some of the best lefties in the league, and if there is a blow up spot, it could come against Daniel Murphy and Bryce Harper, and that alone kind of scares me. And you know, I mean, I was looking at, and you did a little blurb on Harper, but Harper owns Teheran,
and he crushes him.
Listen to this, and this is a decent sample size, right? I'm not going to look at BVP in low sample size situations, but 31 at bats feels like a decent sample size. 615 wOBA and 538 ISO for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and a 1,000 slugging percentage. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God!
Unbelievable.
So, all right, so fine. I got off Teheran. I'm looking at Masahiro Tanaka, who is, like, not sexy at all. Tanaka really hasn't done anything special. We know he has limited K upside, but he's a decent pitcher. And the White Sox offense really is not anything to be afraid of. They proved last night their bats don't have, you know, too much. The 4 earned runs off of Cerevino really felt like more of like a – the kid just throws real hard, and when you get a hold of it, it's going to sail in Yankee Stadium. So I don't know. Cerevino still pitched a gem, you know, tons of K's out there in that lineup. So I don't mind Tanaka.
Yeah, I don't, especially if Todd Frazier sits again. That's only another reason to look his way. So I completely understand that play. I mean, he burned me opening day, so I'm still a little butthurt about that. But
he did, didn't he?
Against the Rays. I mean, come on.
He exploded. Dude, the Rays blew up Tanaka, and the Rays blew up – didn't they blow up Frankie Liriano too? Yeah,
I rostered him as well. I mean, thank God that was like the slate this year when Liriano was like the by far and away most expensive chalk pitcher. So like it didn't hurt much. But I mean, he finished with negative 11, had like – 5 walks in an inning in a third or something like that. It was insane.
Oh, my God. Dude, and I, you know what? I had Porcello over the weekend when the Rays blew him up. So every once in a while, the Rays blowing people up. You got to keep an eye out for those games.
They've got some pop in that lineup. So
they do. They got a lot of young bats. All right, speaking of the Rays, go for it. Who you got here?
So when I was looking at kind of a grout pitcher, a grout or GPP pivot pitcher, I was fixated on Zach Greinke for a while. And then I started looking into it, and I could not have been more disgusted with myself for even considering him. So, Chris Archer, I mean, everyone knows he finished. He had 19 losses last year. I mean, he cannot catch a break. No run support. Biggest disappointment of the season last year. But since the second half, he's been great. He's dazzled this season. He's thrown quality starts against Boston, New York, and Toronto. Toronto's really not playing well right now, but everyone knows how potent that offense can be. Those are three high-quality AL East teams. Detroit, his opponent today, has really struggled against Chris Archer. I'm a BVP guy more when I look at a pitcher as opposed to a batter. He's held this Tigers team to a .203 batting average, a .323 on base percentage, and most importantly to me, they're only slugging .304 against Chris Archer. So he's keeping the ball in the park. He's keeping it on the ground. But he's still throwing gas. I mean, this guy's got a 26.9% strikeout rate last season. Tigers have a 21.3% K rate. So that'll go hand-in-hand for Archer. Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers are also in a bit of a rut right now, and this is not something you see much. Especially, I mean, they've got J.D. Martinez out of the lineup. Miggy is struggling really pretty badly to open up the gate. I think he might have homered yesterday, but let's hope that's not the start of a huge tear. Victor Martinez hasn't been playing well. Justin Upton's a swinging strikeout extraordinaire, per se. So I think Archer is in a great, great spot. I'm very hesitant to pull the trigger in cash games, but tournaments, I love him as a tournament play tonight.
Yeah, if you want to get a little, like, one extra bat in your lineup, I think Archer is very viable. And honestly, I'm looking at the Detroit lineup right now. There are no lefties that scare me. And there are so many guys in this line who are just cold. I mean, Victor Martinez could not be colder right now. And, you know, Castellanos hasn't done much of anything. Kinsler still not really getting it going. You know, I don't mind attacking Detroit. Vegas likes this game to only 7.5 projected runs. And, of course, in the Trop, big field. So, in the Rays defense, man, they have a great outfield. Kevin Kiermaier, an animal.
Yeah, that has to be the only reason he got that contract, because I don't know why they pay him that much.
But kid can cover some ground. I like his game, but yeah, he can't really hit that well.
Longoria's won a Gold Glove, hasn't he?
What's that?
Has Longoria won a Gold Glove before as well?
I think he did early in the year.
I mean, they bought some players.
Dude, Longo's old. I think people forget how old he is.
He's like 30s now. Yeah, he is.
He's getting up there. But all right, let's talk bats here. Those are four quality pitchers for you. But, like, you know, I'm looking at the – also, Joe, like, I don't think you want to go much down past that 8K range. No. Is there anybody in the 7Ks you're interested in?
I mean, I was looking at that today to find, like, a good GPP play. Because, I mean, when I play GPPs in MLB, a low-priced pitcher can be golden with your bats. Like, Jordan Montgomery, his first start was big for me. But I'm looking right now, and I mean – you got Jordan Zimmermann, Vinny Velasquez, who's like the one player I would maybe consider, but he's one of those players, he throws so hard, but that means the ball gets hit that much harder.
Yeah.
But then you got like Trevor Bauer, Ubaldo Jimenez, Ulys Chacin, like just stay away.
Yeah, I think especially when you have like – when you have three really high quality options, Kershaw, Bumgarner, Archer, like, you know, take your pick. You can make it work with one of those guys. And if you can't make it work with one of those guys, then you're taking a risk. But yeah, let's talk bats, because there's some expensive bats, but there's also some value here. So my first stud stack here, like cash game viable, kind of high cost stack, is the Red Sox. They are, you know, on the back half of this series with Toronto up in the Rogers Center. They've got Francisco Liriano on the hill. And, you know, Liriano, we kind of alluded to this, Joe, like kind of tale of two starts here. One monster start where he, you know, he throws multiple Ks. But the first game of the year, he got absolutely destroyed, barely made it out of the first inning, if I remember correctly. So I don't really know what to expect, but I don't necessarily get scared off of a lefty against this Boston lineup that has a ton of high power righties. You know, Liriano's got 11 total Ks, 6 walks on the year, 4.37 Sierra, 12% walk rate, and he's given up a 30% fly ball rate. You know, in the Rogers Center, that's not That's not a great number. It's not terrible, but, you know, that is a hitter's park. So I'm interested in these Boston right-handed bats. You know, they are pricey, but I think we can look at Mookie. We can look at Hanley. We can look at Xander Bogaerts. Pedroia does offer some salary relief, but he's not hitting for power really at all. And interestingly enough, Mitch Moreland mashing all over. It doesn't matter. Right-handed pitching, yeah. Left-handed pitching. He is just mashing right now. He's pretty inexpensive. And interestingly enough, you know, according to the numbers, Sandy Leon may find his way into the lineup against the lefty here. And Leon has great numbers against lefties. So I think you start with Hanley just because he's got the 458 WOBA, 316 ISO against lefties. And I think, you know, he's absolutely kind of where you definitely want him as the key part of your stack. But maybe Leon, you know, Mitch Moreland, Xander, Mookie, they're all batting above 325. ISO's above 200 against left-handed pitching. I mean, take any of them that you want, any of them that you can fit. You could do a two, you could do a three, you could do all four if you can afford them. And they got going last night. They put 9 runs up last night, if I remember. So was it eight or seven?
It was a lot of runs. I mean, that offense is starting to click a little bit. Mookie had 3 hits. I mean, he's coming around a little bit. And speaking of Mookie Betts, do you follow the MLB Stat of the Day Twitter by chance?
No, I didn't. I haven't followed that. That's okay. I love a good MLB stat follow, though. I'm going to go get that.
The last time Mookie Betts struck out in a regular season game, September 12th of last year.
Shut up. Yeah, that's the thing. This team does not strike. They have a 17% strikeout rate.
I mean, including his 5 at-bats yesterday, he's gone 128 plate appearances without striking out. He was down 0-2 in a count yesterday and strike out. Like 128 plate appearances.
That's insane. That's insane. I mean, that's like, I don't know. Who do you give credit? Is that the manager or is that just Mookie's discipline? What is that?
I have no idea. I think that just shows a very, very high level of play discipline and maturity for his age, especially. I mean, it's insane.
Not to mention, he's seeing the ball. Like,
which is scary when you have Francisco Liriano on the mound.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, that just, I'm not that worried about Liriano right now. So, the other one that I want to talk about, Joe, before, real quick, very expensive stack, but the Nationals lefties, I went to them last night and I got the ownership leverage. I was so excited. They just didn't do anything. But God, I love the Nationals lefties because when you get a power hitting second baseman like Daniel Murphy, you know, second base is always kind of a pain in the ass. So I don't mind getting Murphy in there, you know, and like we said, Harper owns Tehran. But Daniel Murphy specifically, 85% contact rate right now against right-handed pitching with a 429 WOBA, 257 ISO. You know, I think you could go back to this national stack. You know, I don't know. I still think that this SunTrust Park is going to be a great place for lefties. I mean, there's talk that Freddie Freeman, they designed this park for Freeman. We saw Freeman mash in it. I think it's going to be a park for lefties. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Absolutely love it.
All right, talk to me. This is like, for the record, you've got the D-backs here. This is like my favorite team to stack right now. Talk to me.
Yeah, they've been hot. I mean, they're scoring. Last time I saw the figure was I think last week. They were scoring like 7 runs a game. I mean, this is a very potent offense. Yulis Chachin is not a good pitcher. There is nothing more, nothing less. He's not good. I mean, I'm not going to go into many of his previous year stats because they're all pretty identical to this year. I mean, 1.2 home runs per 9, only striking out 14.3% of batters, but he's walking 10%, which is compared to his strikeout percent, is terrible. Yeah. 340 batting average on balls in play, only able to leave 52% of his runners on base. I mean, he's a mess. So then you've got the Diamondbacks are a team that have righties that mash lefties, but then they have lefties that mash righties. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, potent offense against both handedness. I'm in this stack. I'm looking at Paul Goldschmidt, Jake Lamb, David Peralta. Yep. Goldschmidt has I mean, keep in mind Goldschmidt's a righty on a righty right here. He still has a 379 WOBA, 216 ISO, and a 38.3% hard contact rate against same-handed pitching. I mean, his numbers against left-handed pitching is even better, which is disgusting. And then there's Jake Lamb, who is a righty smasher, 351 WOBA, 214 ISO, 39.8% hard contact. And then David Peralta has a 370 WOBA, 203 ISO, 34% hard contact. So the theme I'm looking at here is everyone has a 350 or above WOBA. Everyone has at least a 200 ISO and about a 35 or higher percent contact rate. These guys are all batting in the heart of the order. I see no reason as to why all three of them don't smash Chachin tonight. I think more than those three. Well, I think you get Yasmani Tomas in there, a couple other players. I mean,
Tomas and Iannetta both homered last night.
Yeah, so again, hot players. I mean, this team is going to light up. Yeah, absolutely light up.
Joe, I'm going to give you one guess. My Diamondback stack last night in the $2 flyout, I'm going to give you one guess at the average ownership. It was Lamb, Peralta, and Pollock.
Who pitched for the Padres yesterday?
Jared Cosart. Terrible fly ball pitcher.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, I was all over Jake Lamb. The thing is, this is making me think it's going to be lower than it was. I'm going to go like 8.
6%.
You're lying.
I'm not kidding, dude. AJ Pollock had 3% ownership. Peralta was 4, and Jake Lamb was 7.
Like, why?
It's insane. People don't play these West Coast teams. They just aren't paying attention, and Diamondbacks always carry slightly lower ownership, and there's no reason for it. They're playing excellent baseball.
That I wonder if it has something to do with the start time, because I've noticed that too. Like, the late games in MLB do not garner nearly as much ownership as they did in NBA. I wonder if that's a thing.
Yeah, I think it's statistically proven in some of the stuff that I've read, but I also think it's just because you have a higher concentration of East Coast players who are watching primetime games, you know?
Yeah.
And the big market teams. I mean, you have – what are the biggest market teams that are on a given slate? You have Boston, you have the Yankees, you have the Cubs, you have – you know, all of those teams, are going to garner higher ownership when they're on a slate. Yeah. So Diamondbacks are a great option. All right. Moving on, kind of a lower cost plus situation stack that maybe give you a little salary relief. I'm looking at the Rays tonight. I never get the Rays right, but I think this is an easy spot to maybe get some Rays in your lineup. Jordan Zimmermann just really not pitching well for the Tigers. He's got a Sierra of 4.9, a WHIP of 1, almost 1.5, and a fly ball rate of 40% this year. The Rays offense has not been spectacular, but they do offer a lot of salary relief. So I think that the Rays stack with Kershaw is, very viable here. And not to mention, they have a lot of lefties, and they have a lot of lefties in the heart of the order. So I don't mind, almost 1 through 6 here, depending on the order. But I think my favorites are Dickerson, Longoria, Miller, and Logan Morrison. They're cheap. Everyone is about 3K or below, right in that number. They got a WOBA over 325. Not a lot of power. The best ISO numbers belong to Longoria, Dickerson, and Miller, it's flirting with 250, which isn't, unbelievable, but it's not bad. And it's not as if those guys can't hit it out of the park. It's just that they're clearly not doing it very often. So I don't mind these guys. You're looking for a little bit of salary relief. You're going to spend down in a good situation against Zimmermann, who just is allowing massive hard contact rates. Let me see. I just saw his hard contact rate? Yeah, he's got a hard contact rate this year of 43%. So that's, with all these lefties, I have no problem going to Jordan Zimmermann. Going up against Jordan Zimmermann.
Yeah, I can't see the Rays garnering very high ownership tonight either, honestly. Like a tournament, that'd be a perfect stack.
Yeah, I think that works. I think it works.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, talk to me about I like this one, but you do need some cojones here, yeah. Joe. What do you got?
So obviously I'm looking at this more of a not necessarily a cash stack, but I really, really like the Dodgers righties tonight. No one ever targets the Dodgers against a lefty because obviously their lineup is made up mostly of lefties. I mean, you got Adrian Gonzalez. Yasmani Grandal is a switch hitter, but then you got Jock Peterson, Corey Seager. These guys can't hit lefties. And this was Robbie Ray completely carved them up 2 days ago, had 10 or 11 Ks in like six innings. But then again, Robbie Ray is one of the rare pitchers in baseball who has like an 11.5 or 12 strikeout per nine rate. Yeah. Tyler Anderson is the complete opposite. He's got like a 6.5 strikeout per nine rate, which is just a complete opposite end of the spectrum, just not good. He gives up 1.29 career home runs per nine innings allowed to right-handed batters, 324 batting average on balls in play. So then I look at the three players I'm considering this stack. I have Justin Turner, Logan Forsythe, and maybe Yasiel Puig. Puig takes a lot of balls to roster, and I recognize that. I mean, he is so frustrating to watch. He swings at everything, but, I mean, when he gets a hold of a ball, it can go far. So Logan Forsythe was acquired by the Dodgers from Tampa Bay because of how notorious he is about smashing lefties. I mean, this guy, when a lefty was on the mound last year against the Rays, in daily fantasy sports, you rostered Logan Forsythe. Typically under 3K against a lefty, you just did it. So, I mean, why change that tonight? Justin Turner's here, 320 average against lefties this season with a 402 WOBA. And, I mean, he's only had 12 at-bats against Tyler Anderson, but a 583 average nonetheless says something. And then, obviously, like I said, Yasiel Puig, he just takes a lot of balls. But, I mean, he can when he's on, and he also brings the stolen base threat. And Tyler Anderson, and I don't know who they're going to have catching for Colorado. It may be Tony Walters. They have not been that great with throwing runners out this season so far. And in Los Angeles, obviously not as good as Coors, but I think Tyler Anderson gets lit up tonight as well.
I like that call. And I think, you know, I mean, the reality is that you're going to leverage ownership. And I'm looking right now at the leaderboard on FanGraphs against left-handed pitching. And there's Logan Forsythe right there, top 10 right now, 14% walk rate, batting 429, 536 on base, slugging 524. I mean, that's a beautiful slash, 429, 536, 524. That's a pretty decent, you know, for a guy that's not that, you know, you'd like a little bit more slugging, a little bit more power, but he's getting on base, which is wonderful, 459 WOBA. So I don't mind it. You know, Forsythe is inexpensive, and you're going to leverage ownership. That's the thing here. It's high risk, high reward. They struggle with lefties. But you're right when you say that Anderson is nothing to really be scared of. Yeah. And we saw Puig went yard just 2 days ago against who did he take yard in? Didn't he have a double? Didn't he do a two-dinger game?
He did. I think he did. That was either earlier this week or last week. He definitely had a two homer. I think that might have been like his second.
He had like some ridiculous number. He came home with like, you know, 45 fantasy points. And I was like, you know, I thought about the Dodgers.
Yeah, it was against the Diamondbacks. He had one home run, four RBIs though. I mean, he's batting 294 this year, four homers, 11 RBIs, seven runs, two steals. I mean, and Tyler Anderson is also carrying an 8.59 ERA into this game. So,
yeah. I don't mind that at all. I think Puig is seeing the ball. Let's you know, like you said, ownership, yeah. leverage. I like that a lot. All right, a couple pivot stacks, some kind of, you know, like maybe some one offs, some pairs here that are in good spots you don't want to ignore. I don't mind Minnesota. I think they always come with a little bit lower ownership, and Trevor Bauer just kind of hasn't had it this year yet. Like, he's just not really pitching that well. He got lit up last time. Sierra, very elevated, above 4.5. Minnesota offense isn't striking out. They're taking walks. They're getting on base. They're showing amazing plate discipline. You know, and they're not hitting for power, but they're hitting. And you know, Miguel Sano almost put them back in that game last night, even against the Cleveland team that was mashing. They hit right-handed pitching pretty well. So, you know, I think you could do a Dozier. Dozier, obviously, pretty expensive. So, you know, Kepler, Grossman, Sano, they're all in play. I think you wait to see the order, and maybe you try to get a little 3-4 or a 4-5. You know, especially like Kepler. I think Kepler's probably the one that you you have in there. The only thing that they do worry about is the weather in Minnesota is not great. So you got to keep your eye on that. There's possibility of rain, and the wind is blowing in a couple spots. So we'll see about Minnesota. But I think, you know, you definitely get some nice ownership leverage by getting a little pair of Minnesota bats.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, like we've been talking about, ownership is huge, especially in tournaments. Twins, you know, Dodgers. Another one that I love, especially from an ownership standpoint, is the Mets. I feel, or I, not because my last name, but I mean, the Mets, I feel like, are a team that never, no matter how great their matchup is, I feel like they never carry significant ownership in cash or tournament games. But especially tonight, I mean, Vince Velasquez is taking the mound for Philly. Huge K upside. I mean, if I was going to go below the 8K range, like we talked about in pitchers in a tournament, I'd go with Velasquez. Yeah. Just because of the strikeout potential. But the harder you throw the ball, the harder it gets hit. First game against the Mets, he pitched a week ago from today. Lit up five hits, five earned runs. Also walked four. His control was just not there. And the Mets have a lot of lefties that are in some great spots. I mean, Michael Conforto, under 3K, let off yesterday, let off last week against Velasquez. In that game, he went 2-for-4, home run, three runs with a walk. So he obviously saw the ball extremely well. You got Asdrubal Cabrera that usually hits second. He hits from both sides of the plate. You have a righty in Cespedes to split that up, but it's Yoenis Cespedes. Mm-hmm. You got Jay Bruce, Neil Walker, Lucas Duda, Jose Reyes rounding that out in that order, all of which can hit from the left side of the plate. So it's definitely a tough matchup for Velasquez. And in this Mets lineup with these lefties, you're getting a little bit of everything as well. I mean, you have power in Jay Bruce, power and stolen base upside in Curtis Granderson. Conforto, power, average. Neil Walker, power. Lucas Duda, power. I mean, in a GPP, a lot of people go with a high-risk, high-reward approach. These are those perfect players that give you a ton of home run upside. Obviously, their floor is a bit lower. Their floor is a zero. But, I mean, they've got that double-dong potential that could help you take home a tournament. And I think this is a great spot for them, especially with how well they fared last week against him.
Yeah, I see some Jay Bruce happening tonight, maybe. Yeah. I feel like Jay Bruce, maybe Conforto, some of these, you know, part of the reason I think that the Mets lineup goes under-owned is because it changes a lot. You know, they move guys around in the order. They're not afraid to, you know, switch up Bruce and Walker. It's pretty much always Cespedes in that, you know, or Granderson at the top. But I think that a lot of times people just are kind of like, oh, I don't know who to play on the Mets because mm-hmm. they're all kind of, like you said, like they're hitting for average. There's a little bit of potential here. They're batting from both sides of the plate, you know. And like, I mean, Velasquez does have a massive K rate and the Mets will swing, but you know, I don't know. It doesn't, I think you're right. For ownership purposes, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Get after some of those Mets bats. All right. Now, some lone wolves, some one-offs here. I think these are a couple things, you know, just kind of we want to remember, we want to consider. I think, Joe, we can look at a couple of these Padres. Now, you talk about a team that always comes with lower ownership, and you talk about how you were disappointed in yourself about Zach Greinke, yeah. Zach Greinke love. And it's true. Greinke is not playing great right now. 4+ Sierra, 34% fly ball rate. The Padres Park Petco isn't a great place to hit, but they do have some guys who can hit, you know. And I think, you know, Will Myers, Ryan Schimpf, Yinjervis Solarte, Hunter Renfroe, all those guys are in play. And honestly, you could just stack this game. You could go with the Diamondbacks Padres stack and then throw a pitcher on top, whoever you can fit, and boom, you'll be solid. But I don't know. I mean, these Padres bats, they're young. They can pop every once in a while. So I don't really have a problem with them. I also think that we could look at Hunter Pence and Buster Posey. There's a massive weather situation in Kansas City. You know, Pence and Posey batting 3-4 or 4-5 in the order there in San Francisco, going up against
who's pitching for Kansas City?
Vargas.
Yeah, Vargas. I mean, okay. You know, I mean, and the numbers for Pence and Posey against righties are excellent. You know, yeah. they're hitting, you know, over 400 wOBA for Posey, ISO over 200 for Pence. So I don't mind either of those guys. You know, San Francisco always offers salary relief. I don't know how these guys are so cheap, but they're all so cheap.
Is Hunter Pence still under 3K or is he not?
He's 3K on the nose.
And I mean, Brandon Crawford's below 3K. Yeah, they are really all, besides Buster Posey, they are dirt cheap.
I know. Well, last night it kind of backfired, but I was using them last night for salary relief, and nothing happened in that game whatsoever. But I think that, you know, wind out to left at 18 miles per hour, get some of those righty bats in your lineup. Yeah, and then how do you feel about this Cincy-Baltimore game?
I think – okay, so Baltimore really, really let me down yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I was all over Ben and I were all over Manny Machado, put up a nice goose egg. J.J. Hardy put up a nice goose egg. Jonathan Schoop was fine. Mark Trumbo was – not Mike Trumbo. Chris Davis was fine. But they just didn't do anything. I definitely like them tonight, but I love Cincinnati way more.
Okay, talk to me.
Ubaldo Jimenez is not good. I mean, his first half of last year was absolutely miserable. Second half, a little less miserable, still miserable. He's somehow, I can't remember exactly who it was. I believe it might have been his last outing. Yeah, the Red Sox. I mean, he's gone, so he's faced the Red Sox and the Yankees. He's gone no farther than 4.1 innings in both games, 5 earned runs in each, 7 and 8 hits respectively. I mean, he gives up a lot of contact, doesn't strike out a ton, and like you said, he can't hold runners on. And I mean, the Reds have the fastest player in baseball on their team leading off. Billy Hamilton gets on base, you can count on at least one steal.
Yeah,
they've got some capable lefties as well. I don't mind Joey Bats. You're Joey Bats. Duvall from the right side of the plate. Duvall's also red hot right now.
Yeah, he is.
I think 5 or 6 RBIs in like a matter of 3 innings last night. So I like Cincinnati a lot.
Hitter's ballpark. I do too. Yeah, and I'm looking at the weather. It's creeping on almost 80 degrees, 77 degrees, wind out to left field. So, I mean, this feels like this could really be a shootout. Now, the other side of the ball, Amir Garrett has actually put up some really good starts. This young guy can really huck the ball, but like a part of me feels like tonight is maybe the night, and I'm going to think real hard about this, to go back to Machado after everybody got burned and say, okay, two nights, same ballpark, you know, won't get fooled again. This kid throws gas, and if Machado gets a hold of one of those, then, you know, bye-bye, especially in Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, that's also another perfect way to leverage ownership. No one is – I mean, everyone was on Machado last night. No one's going to go back to that well tonight, or at least 40% of people will. So yeah. I think that's a great play right there as well.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you got one of my favorite guys here. Talk to me.
I do. You mentioned Bryce Harper. I mean, I love, as well as Teherin's plate, I love, love, love lefties against him. Bryce Harper also, I feel like his ownership is never as high. I mean, beginning of the season, it was high. It tapers off throughout the year because he has a tendency to go on these dry spells where he disappears, he strikes out a lot. I mean, his average last year got down to like 230 or something like that. He was not looking good. He does that every year, and that really takes ownership away. But like we said, I'm not huge on BVP, but you cannot ignore Bryce Harper's against Julio Teherin. 13 for 31, 13 hits. 5 of those are home runs. 3 are doubles. I mean, that's a 1,000 slugging percentage. We talked about his wOBA ISO. I mean, he's in a great spot tonight. More of a one-off play. If you want to pair him in a tournament with Daniel Murphy, I don't mind. Another high-priced hitter I do like tonight is Mike Trout. As Dallas Keuchel's got some great BVP in a somewhat brief sample size. Dallas Keuchel absolutely fell off the rails last year after his Cy Young year. Velocity's been down. He's looking a little better compared to last year, but like I said, velocity's still down. And Mike Trout versus a lefty is always a great play in my eyes.
It's interesting. I think Trout and Harper come with low ownership just because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
That people are like, well, I can't play a $5,000 outfielder. I mean, there's so many cheap options, you know?
That's the thing. Like, even myself, like, I find myself extremely hesitant to play them because I'm thinking, like, I'm going to need a home run out of these guys or else it's not going to be worth spending that money for them.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, there's a lot of games where they go out and they get you 12, 15. Yep. Last night, Harper put up, I think, 18 fantasy – or not Harper. Yep.
Trout.
Trout put up 18 fantasy points, you know? Yep. You'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the thing is, I feel like – I mean, Trout for sure comes with a lot of stolen base upside as well. So, you can, I mean, both these players can do it all. Harper doesn't run as much, but, I mean, when he's on, he's on. Right. Trout's batting .327 right now. Harper's actually batting .354 right now. Scored 13 runs already. He's coming off two straight multi-hit games, and obviously gets a good spot tonight from a BVP standpoint. So
I think the pairing him in the order with Daniel Murphy is so dangerous because you're not going to pitch around one to get to the other. Yep. You know, like, it's just so filthy, especially for righties. They just, like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like, you got to pitch to Harper or you got to pitch to Murphy. Who do you want to pitch to?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't want to pitch to either of them. So, puts the opposing pitchers in an extremely tough spot. Who bats behind? Harper's 3, Murphy 4?
Yeah, and then it's somebody, I mean, sometimes it's...
Lyon Zimmerman or no?
No, Zimmerman has been there a couple days. For a while, it was Eaton, then there was Rendon, but Eaton and Rendon have just kind of been meh.
Eaton was hot to start the year. That's another left. I mean,
yep.
Quick stat. Like, I mean, if you want to target a lefty stack against Teheran, GPP viable, that's not bad. Eaton's a little overpriced at 3.7, but.
Yeah, I don't mind. I never mind the Nationals bats because they can start knocking doubles all around the place. You know, they can just start smoking the base paths. They did that a couple games earlier in the year, so I don't mind that spot at all.
Yeah, I completely. I mean, you have Trey Turner back too, hopefully. So just another.
Oh, really? Is he back today?
Well, he pinch hit yesterday for an at bat. So nice. I'd like to. I mean, went one for one with a steal, 9 points and one at bat. You'll take it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
but you got to think that he. He's at least making progress. So if he's back in there tonight ahead of Harper and Murphy, that's just one more player potentially on base. So,
yeah, I like that call a lot. All right, Joe, let's get ourselves over to FanDuel real quick here. Let's see if we can build up a lineup here, my friend. You know, I think we're going to have to look at one of these high-priced pitchers to start with. So, you know, where does your heart take you? Guest. You pick.
I'm going to go Bump. I mean, I think he's so comparable to Kershaw that $1,800 salary relief is going to come in extremely handy.
Okay. Great
spots. I think Bump. I'm confident in Bump.
All right. I like that call. All right. So we're on Mad Bum here at the pitching spot. You know, we're going to need a little bit of salary relief. So I think let's either – do we look at the Arizona here, some of these cheaper bats? I feel like Peralta's in a good spot.
Yeah, Peralta's only 3-1. I mean, I think – is Jake Lamb still – let's see.
Jake Lamb's 3-9. It's not perfect.
His price is rising quick, and obviously Goldschmidt's 4-3.
Yeah, I mean, you compare that to Longo at 3-1 at third base. I mean, maybe you go with Longoria just to kind of get the salary.
I like that play a lot.
All right, so let's get that Rays stack in there. Let's see what we can find as far as value with the Rays. We like Longo, and then you know, who are the Logan Morrison? Way too cheap at first base, $2,100.
Yeah, Mike, for minimum price for the. The power he brings, I mean, that's
huge.
That's a great. He's batting .304 this year too.
I know. All right. So Morrison, and then do we want to get Who do we? We can either go with Brad Miller at second or Corey Dickerson in the outfield. What do you think?
So Brad Miller's only 2,900.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's starting to heat up a bit. Hits in three straight. And Dickerson's 3-1. I would personally say Brad Miller.
All right, let's do Brad Miller. There's our infield. 1-2-3 for the Rays infield. That's kind of nice. You take care of that second base spot with some power that you like. Okay, now we've got some outfielders to look at, and we need a shortstop as well. So, are you seeing any shortstops you like on this slate?
I feel like FanDuel's price is. I like his Drubal Cabrera, but I'm not willing to pay 3.5 for him.
Especially when you can get Bogarts at 3.2.
Exactly. I'm looking sub right now. I'm looking sub 3K. My God, Trevor Story for 2.6, but then Kershaw's pitching. But I mean, Brandon.
There's going to be a spot to go back to Trevor Story at 2.6. That price isn't going to go up overnight.
Yeah, I mean, homer last night too. So, I really like Brandon Crawford for 2.7. That's the one that's catching my eye right now against Jason Vargas. Has the split. I mean, playing well.
Okay, let's do it. All right, Crawford, not bad there. And then maybe then. Do you think we can take Posey at the catcher, or are we spending too much?
Let's see, what is that? I mean, I really don't mind that.
All right, let's see if we can get. Let's work. We'll work Posey in there, and then we'll see. Maybe we may have to get off of him.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nick Hundley, by the way, if he's the DH, he is very interesting.
Oh, he's only 2.6. Did he play yesterday?
Yeah, he's been DHing for them.
They are in Kansas City. You're right. Yeah. I mean, he's only that. That's some extremely cheap exposure to the Giants' offense. It's only 2.6 right there.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's look at. I wouldn't mind Hundley. Let me try. Where is he at in the order? Is my question.
I think yesterday he was 7,
which is
not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go with Posey. I think you're right. Let's go with Posey here. Let's see what we can get, because there were some inexpensive outfielders. That gives us 3K for our whole outfield, more or less.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got a couple of these. We could go with the Arizona bats. We could go with Pollock and Peralta, and then a one off. Adam Duvall too cheap. We could add another
3K. Let's see who else.
Oh, Hamilton. We could do a nice little
Conforto's 2.7.
Mm.
Conforto's not. He's been somewhat cold though. I'm looking at these cheaper outfielders, and all the Rockies are under 3K. I mean, Cargo is 2.5.
God, I can't.
I might have to make a tournament line with some Rockies in just for shits and gigs.
Stack that Colorado Dodgers game. Just stack it up.
Who else do we have here?
I don't think we can sleep on our Diamondbacks here.
I don't either. I like Peralta a lot. And you said Pollock too. He's catching my eye as well.
Yeah, let's look at Pollock. Let's look at Peralta. And then if we get Pollock and Peralta, where is Peralta?
3-1. So we got that gives us 2.5 for the remaining outfield spot.
That's not great. Oh.
Cargo. There we go.
Cargo. There you go. Cargo, baby. The other one that I was looking at, which is really cheap, was the Adam Duvall Billy Hamilton pairing.
Yeah,
that gives you 3K. You get a 3K one-off in the outfield, which means you could get – I mean, you could even get Scott Schebler in there and do a full Reds outfield. Although Schebler – yeah. Schebler's kind of –
Hunter Pence is there if you want more exposure to the Giant.
Oh, yeah. How much is Hunter Pence? He's 3. Oh, let's get Hunter Pence in there. Then we have 3, 4, 5 in the Giants lineup. Yeah, that's not bad, man. Get that stolen base upside with Billy Hamilton, a hot bat in Adam Duvall, and Bumgarner on the mound. This isn't bad, man. You know, you got a nice little Giants stack. So Bumgarner at the pitcher, Posey at catcher. Infield is Logan Morrison, Brad Miller, Evan Longoria, Brandon Crawford at shortstop, just because he's too cheap. Adam Duvall, Billy Hamilton, and then Hunter Pence as our third outfielder.
I like it. Yeah, I like the stat.
It's not bad at all. You have exposure. I don't think any of these teams are going to come with massive ownership, you know, as opposed to the Red Sox, for example. They're going to come probably with big ownership tonight. I don't know. I don't really know where else to project ownership. Cleveland really hot right now, so they'll probably get some
wealth. That is a good – Cleveland's a good baseball team. My God.
They are really good. And, dude, they
this lineup, we also have Madison Bumgarner pitching. This is not a bad lineup to have with Bumgarner.
No, typically not at all.
It's hard to find value, but I think we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. It's a good starting place. You know, and like we said, guys, if you're – you know, this is the starting place, but we have a lot of love for those Arizona bats as well. So if you want to get some of those Arizona outfielders in there, you can. Posey is an expensive catcher. That's kind of where, you know, we planted our flag on that one. But you can easily spend down at catcher and you know, if Hundley gets up to that sixth spot, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Oh, for 2-6, definitely. That'll give you 1,300 savings. You can spend up at, I mean, if you want an expensive shortstop and you want to go, actually, you'd be 100 short of Lindor, but you can distribute that in the outfield. There's a lot you could do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely, you may be able to get a nice little Boston stack.
Yeah. Go up to Hanley at first for 3,400.
Yeah, you could do, I was going to say, you can't do Mookie and, I was going to look at, you know, maybe a Mookie and Xander Bogarts, but I think that's just too expensive. All right, Joe. Hey, tell people where they can find you on Twitter. Tell them where they can find Fan Forecast content and what they should expect.
So obviously we're on Twitter. Twitter handle is @FanForecast. Website is fantasy-forecast.com. We're really starting to ramp up the MLB content. Ben's writing, I'm writing. We'll try and have everything covered on a daily basis. I'm on Twitter @JMets34. Always willing to answer questions. And we do our best to get back to you as fast as we can. We want to help everyone we can. So website, Twitter, it's all there for you.
Yeah, man. Check out Fan Forecast, guys. Obviously, you know, they've been an amazing partner to the pod, to the Lineup Logic. Great content on a daily basis. Joe, we're going to have you on at a minimum once a week, maybe twice a week this year. Awesome to have you for the first week of the show here, my friend. As he said, JMets 34, right? Correct?
Yep.
JMets 34, give him a follow. Give Fan Forecast a follow. And good luck in your contest, guys. And any questions, hit us up. We will we'll be out there. And let's go make some money tonight, Joe.
Let's do it. I keep picturing that Lord of the Rings scene right now.
Charging at the field.
Yeah, I was just watching the movie and I was like, holy shit, this is Josh and Sean. I don't know what it was, it just clicked.
Oh, that's really, really very funny. I don't know how true it is necessarily. I don't know if I deserve that kind of, you know, that kind of love, but I do appreciate it quite a bit, my friend. All right, guys, good luck in your contest, and we will see you tomorrow.